Let's go ahead and pray just to make sure. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts up to your Holy Spirit to speak to our lives today. We need you. We need your word of wisdom, of truth. We need your guidance. We need your help today. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and do what only you can do, and that is take your word and open it up to us, feed us with the bread of life so that we can become more like you and do the things that you've asked us to do and become all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in our summer series on discovering God's will, and today I want to talk to you about how to receive guidance from God. Receive guidance from God. So I'm going to give you three keys that will guarantee you can receive guidance from God. And turn to two people and say, I really need this. We have a lot of questions in life. Who will I marry? You know, I want them to be perfect. I want this to be a perfect marriage without any problems. Where shall I work? I want my job to be fantastic and fun and easy and make a lot of money. Should I buy a house? I want the perfect house with no mortgage payment, no electric bills. Where should I go to college? And if I do, I want the classes to be real easy and get straight A's and graduate with a lot of degrees so I can get a great job. And of course, I wouldn't want to miss this one. Should I attend church? And if so, we want it to be the perfect church with the perfect pastor who can walk on water and leap tall buildings in a single bound and likes every kind of music except country music. So... I did get a laugh out of that one. That's good. Not always. Sometimes people leave the church over that. Let me make this statement. Anyone who wants to can receive guidance from God. I believe God wants to guide you more than you want to be guided. He wants to give you his wisdom more than you want his wisdom. Now, we want it. We need it. We seek after it. We're here, I believe, in church, hungry to hear from God, so we have his guidance, but he even wants to give us it more than we desire it. I mean, this is his, without God's guidance in our life, we're all doomed. And I want you to have a life of victory and success and a life of honoring God and to becoming all that God wants you to be. Now, maybe when we think of receiving guidance from God, we think of just give me an answer for my problem. And certainly, there are answers for our problems, and God can guide us that way. But it is so much more encompassing than that. In fact, I believe that our entire life should be guided by God. That it shouldn't be compartmentalized, where God just is called in like a 911 call, like he's a spiritual paramedic when we have an emergency, and then we call up God. No, in fact, if we live our lives in such a way where God is guiding us on a daily and moment-to-moment basis, we won't have to have those 911 calls to God, at least not nearly as much as if we don't follow him and rely upon him, and then we get into these almost insurmountable trials and problems, sometimes we don't even know how we got there. Now, God does want to guide us, and I want you to look at this scripture with me in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. It's right up here on the screen from God's Word Translation. The Lord says, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way that you should go. I will advise you as my eyes watch over you. Now here, God promises three things. He promises to instruct us, to give us information that helps us to be wise. That word instruction literally means to be circumspect. In other words, being able to see all of your surroundings in order to make a wise decision. He's going to instruct you. Here's how you go about a decision in this. Because in and of ourselves, we have a lot of blind spots, don't we? In fact, if you want to find out if there's something that you can improve, just ask your spouse or your children or your parents or your boss. Or pretty much just anybody who knows you. They will tell you, you know, there's some things about you. And you may go, you know, I didn't know that. Or you go, well, I kind of thought that, but it wasn't clear to me. or maybe you're just ignoring it. But there's blind spots in our life. So the instruction of God gives you a clear understanding of your circumstances. It helps you understand things in order for you to make decisions that will cause you to prosper and not go under in defeat. Then it says, I will teach you the way that you should go. I love this. That means he will point out the direction for you. Now, a lot of times people will ask me as a pastor, what to do? What should I do? And what they're wanting is wanting me, and sometimes they just other people, but they're wanting me to make a decision for them and say, this is what you should do. And I can't do that because if it doesn't work out, then guess who's responsible? So what I have learned and what I believe my role is to do what God says and point the finger and give direction, but not a decision, okay? And so God says, this is the way, this is the direction. I'm going to teach you the clear path that you are to take. Now, here he says, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way that you should go. Does God promise to instruct us? Does he promise to teach us? What does it say? Yes, thank you very much. Just making sure we're on the same page here. Okay. And then he says, I will advise you as my eyes watch over you. How many of you have ever had something happen to you and go, God, where are you? Where in the world was God? Well, according to this, he is advising us as he's watching over our life. So he's constantly wanting to give us advice or wise counsel. Life only goes well when you have wisdom. All of success in life comes, it's not by accident, it's not by luck, seriously. If something good happens, if something prosperous happens, I would guarantee that there is some wisdom and instruction involved in the decision making. Okay? So, now, the Lord promises this guidance, and then in the next verse, he gives this warning, verse 9. He says this, don't be stubborn like a horse or a mule. They need a bit and a bridle in their mouth to restrain them, or they will not come near you. In other words, don't be stupid like an animal who has no ability to understand its, you know, understand counsel or wisdom. They have to be controlled. One of the things I say to the children from time to time in our daycare center who act out, I say, now you need to control yourself or somebody else will. And that's true for our entire lives, not just when we're kids. If we don't control ourselves, eventually the police will come and they will control us because we're acting out and doing things that are inappropriate, aren't we? So he says, don't be stubborn like the horse or the mule. You got to bang them over the head or put the spurs in their sides in order to get them move, or put a bridle in order to give them direction. He says, don't be stubborn. What is the opposite of stubborn? Well, yield yourself to God's instruction. Sometimes we feel like instruction brings destruction. Sometimes we feel like correction means rejection. But can I tell you something? The Bible clearly says, do not despise the chastening or the discipline of the Lord. Do not despise his teaching, his training, because it leads to life. I don't like to be corrected. If anybody, how many of you love to be corrected? You do not. See, nobody did raise their hand, which is probably true. I mean, if we thought it out, we go, yeah, I love correction because of what, but we don't actually like the process, do we? I mean, it hurts. It's painful. That's why the word discipline sounds like punishment, even though it's really not. It just means to teach you the right way to go because you're going the wrong way and you wanted to go the wrong way, and now you've got to go a way that you don't necessarily want to go, but the reason that's good for you is because that direction will keep you alive. That direction won't. So the Bible says, don't despise that. Let God instruct you. Let him give you wisdom and understanding. Let him give you the advice and the guidance that you need. You say, well, let him. I'm asking him for it. Well, okay, well, let's talk about this here today, because I want to give you the keys that will ensure that you actually are receiving the guidance that God has for you. All right? God promises guidance, but we all have to be willing to receive it and follow it. As a pastor, many people ask me for counsel or advice, but even though we don't give directions or we don't make the decisions for them, we explain what God says about the situation from the Word. Now, here's the thing. When you seek out godly counsel and they tell you what the Word of God says, it shouldn't be, oh, that's a nice option. I'll pray about whether I should do what the Bible says. Sometimes people come and share their decision with me, thinking that is if they shared their decision with me, that's all of a sudden approval. Well, Pastor Tom knows I'm doing this. He knows it's a stupid decision. He knows this isn't what God said to do. You understand? If you seek godly counsel, you have to be willing to do what the counselor, what the advisor, what the Spirit of God, what the Word of God tells you to do. Now, I don't know if this is true, but from my experience, I think that God doesn't tell us what His will is unless we're willing to do it. Now, His Word tells us what His will is, but there are a lot of things that God wants to tell us to do, but He knows that if He tells us, we're just going to ignore it anyway. So you got to ask yourself, if God actually did reveal His will to me, would I be willing to do it? I mean, what limitations am I putting on God's will and God's instruction for my life? Even if I didn't like it, you have to say, well, God knows best. I mean, He created you. He set a plan. He set your life in motion. He gave you gifts and abilities. He put you in a certain place. He gave you surroundings. So what we don't understand many times is the things that God tells us, the instruction He gives us, is not just so that we can add another thing to our to-do list, but it's something He asks us to do that will actually transform us to become what He wants us to be. And this is going to be, hopefully, the revelation that all of us get here today, that guidance isn't necessarily as much about what we do as about what we become through that process. So it's always surprising, even though some people are extremely desperate when they come into my office, they don't always like or receive the advice that God has for them. Sometimes we would prefer comfort than correction. We would prefer a fix instead of living by faith. Now, the reason I tell you that is because comfort isn't always the thing that you need. Comfort isn't always the thing that you need. We think it is. We want to get this problem fixed. And sometimes it's not the fix. Sometimes God may have put you in the fix in order to fix the fix that you were in. He wants you to be in the fix so you could start to live by faith and trust Him, because that fix is going to fix something in the inside of you. Do you want to write that down? If you're in a pickle, you can write this one down. If you're in a pickle, don't be offended if Pastor Tom says, get out of the vinegar. Does that make any sense? I don't know if it was all right or not. If you're in a pickle and I say, get out of the vinegar, how dare he tell me what to do? I don't want to get out of the vinegar. Well, then stay in a pickle. Without God's guidance, we will always get ourselves into a pickle. Okay? And the reason is because without God's guidance, we're using our human reasoning. We're using the very limited knowledge of our five senses to be able to make decisions. And it's flawed, and it's filtered through a sinful, broken thought life and attitudes and ambitions and desires. And we've got to have the clear wisdom and guidance from God in order to differentiate between a human decision and God's decision, between human wisdom and godly wisdom. And godly wisdom is not something that we can come up with on our own. We are totally dependent on God for it. Okay, and he's going to give it to you, but we've got to learn this first. Proverbs 14:12, here's what human wisdom does. Proverbs 14:12, it says this, "There is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but its end is the way of death." Now, that's pretty drastic. You know, there's a way that seems right to us, but it ends in death. Who would have thought that everything looked like this was going to be a good decision? Or this was going to be something really fun without any consequences. Or this was, or I could do this and get away with this. But what sometimes seems right to us literally is ending in a situation that brings death to our lives. The Message Bible says it this way, "There is a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again, it leads straight to hell." Sure, those people, there are those people who appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will ultimately end in heartbreak. God's not interested in us decisions that devastate our lives. Now, we've all maybe made mistakes and we've all made decisions, but what I'm here to help you with today is to begin, if nothing else, from this day forward, to begin to rely upon God for his wisdom to avoid some of those tragic mistakes that will leave you in a life of regret, a life of disappointment, or even sometimes misery and could be poverty. Jeremiah the prophet clearly states the problem of man's inability to direct his life. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "O Lord," pleads Jeremiah in the name of the people, "I know that the determination of the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man, even in a strong man, at his very best, to direct his own steps." So we can make plans, but we don't know what the next day is going to bring. We really don't know what is around the corner. We can have everything strategized, everything planned out, everything tried, even security put in place. But you know what? There is no security other than in God. I mean, one of the big stressors that people have is finances. And you know what? The people who've got the most money, you probably won't believe this, seem to have the most stress. You didn't believe me. I know that. I can tell you, I can just tell that. There's just, he's crazy. Well, I do know this, that the people who win the lottery end up in the most bankruptcy. Well, that's a fact. So it's not money, it's not the security of finances that can give you peace. Because what is enough? There's never enough. There never is enough. What you need is the peace and the security of what Jesus said, "Do not worry about what you're supposed to eat or put on." All right? God clothes the flowers. He feeds the birds. He's going to take care of you. You may be going through a financial crisis right now. In 3 years from now, you'll be sitting here hopefully going, "I went through a financial crisis 3 years from now or 3 years ago," and we're all going to go, "And you're still here. Looks like you got a new hat too. And a new car, and a few more wrinkles, because you were worrying about it the whole time." Okay, I mean, I understand diligence and all this, but there's a lot of things we worry about that God says, "Don't worry about it. Cast that care upon me. Do what I ask you to do. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you." One of the things that we need to realize is that God's wisdom has to be given to us because we can't get it on our own. Our wisdom is finite. It is limited to what we can see and feel and hear. What seems right to us without God's wisdom can result in destruction and death. Our thoughts, they're just not God's thoughts. I mean, look at this, Isaiah 58. Many of you know this scripture. Isaiah 58, 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord." So we have to realize that, hey, whatever we're thinking, if it's not a thought from God, it's not God's thoughts. We have to get God's thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So it is essential that we get God's thinking and his thoughts and his guidance. Even more than a child needs guidance from his parents, even more than a small student or a child needs teaching from a teacher in their school, we need guidance and teaching from God and his Holy Spirit and from his word. And he promises to give it. So here are three keys as we wrap this up. Here are three keys today to guarantee God's guidance. If you're writing your notes down, you can write this. Key number one, God guides us primarily with his word, with the word of God. Y'all have a Bible in your life? Y'all know where your Bible is? The Bible is the word of God. It's his love letters to you. There's 66 books in there. All of them address God telling you what he has done for you. All of them tell you the plan and purpose that he has for you. All of them give you wisdom on how to live your life. Now, it's not necessarily a roadmap for where God wants you to go, but it is a guide for how he wants you to get wherever he's leading you to go. Because in order to get where God wants you to go, you got to be the person he wants you to be. A lot of times when people pray about who should I marry, you know, who their spouse is, that's really not the right question. The right question before you get married is, am I the right person to be married? Am I the right person to be married? Not am I looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, but am I right? Has God prepared my heart for the relationship? And if you have that understanding in your heart of what makes up a good marriage relationship, then you could be like Pastor Lori and I, who are celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary today. Hallelujah. I remember before we got married, I said to her, I said, you know, I believe that because this is, you know, sometimes in religious circles, especially charismatic circles and things, where, you know, some people think, well, I've got to find, there's one Adam for one Eve. There's that one perfect person out there. All right. Well, whatever. and maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But I do know this. Even if you don't find the perfect person, you can be the perfect person. You can be the perfect person. And even if you didn't marry the perfect person, you can still have the perfect marriage by becoming the perfect mate. And that's just clearly doing what God says in his word in your relationship. So I said to Pastor Lori, I said, any two believers can get married who are teachable. Who are teachable. Who are teachable. Any two people can have a God-honoring marriage if they're teachable and they're willing to humble themselves and grow together. I believe that. So God guides us primarily with his words. The scriptures are God's will written to us. It has been given to us as a guide for every area of our life, for our relationships, for our morality, for our relationship with God, for our behavior, for knowing the purposes and plans of God for our life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now that's kind of a, it sounds almost kind of like, you know, dreadful. Well, it's profitable for doctrine. Like, you know, some type of courtroom thing. Well, doctrine is just simply understanding the principles and the precepts on how to live your life according to the way God has designed things. And it's profitable for reproof. You know, how many of you think that you need reproof once in a while? Not very many, see? Yeah. I mean, sometimes I need reproof, and I need it from Pastor Lori, from my wife. Sometimes you may need reproof, and the Word of God will give it to you because you'll read it and go, oh, that's what I've been missing. I need to have the Word of God test my heart, to prove my heart, to see whether it is actually following the ways of God. It's profitable for correction. Yeah, you're going a little bit off the, you know, God, the Word of God will correct you. You're thinking a certain way, and God's Word will correct you. Now, and instruction in righteousness. Now, believe me, all these things, it's easy to get off the path that God has for you. It's easy to miss God's guidance. I mean, all day long, all this information that comes into our ears and our eyes and everything that we see, it just, you know, and most of the time, we just believe anything we hear, you know, and then all of a sudden we read the Word of God and it's like, that's not even close to what I've been hearing all week. And you've got to make this adjustment. And I'll tell you what, if you can keep the Word of God as your final, first and final authority in your life, half the stuff that you hear on the news and through people and whatever, all these different media forms, you're going to go, that's not even close to what God believes. That's not even close to what God believes. That's totally contradictory to what the Word of God is, because you'll have the discernment of knowing what God's Word says, and believe me, it'll keep you out of a lot of heartache, misery, and regret. Now, the Phillips translation of this says, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is useful for teaching about faith, correcting our errors, for resetting the direction of a man's life, and training him in good living. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man or woman of God and equip him and fit him fully for all branches of his work. So this isn't just the spiritual work. This is for all the things that we do. The Word of God can equip us to make right, godly decisions. Now, most of the time, that guidance from God that is written in His Word, because the decisions that we have to make that are not in His Word usually have some basis in a decision that needs to line up with the Word. So therefore, any decision we make should be confirmed in some way or another with the Word of God. Let's say the Bible doesn't tell you who to get married to, but the Bible will tell you what kind of person to be in order to get married to the right person. So if you have the principles of the Word of God, it's going to be a lot less chance that you're going to make that kind of mistake of marrying a person that God doesn't want you to be married to. Now, if you're seeking to get specific or personal guidance about your life from God, then here's what we need to do. We need to commit to the commands that the Word of God gives us, because you can't not be committed to the commands in the Bible and get a command from God specifically or personally about something else, because that will never contradict what God's Word says. So that's why God would never tell me I'm supposed to marry somebody else, because I'm already married to Pastor Lori. Oh, an angel appeared to me. Yeah, an angel of light. A demon appeared to me, or whatever. You see, because I'm grounded in my foundation and I know what the Word of God tells me about His will for my life, the majority of things that would tempt me otherwise are not even a temptation. They're almost a joke. Oh, yeah, I had this dream about some other woman. Yeah, how funny is that? And it's a nightmare, not even a dream. It's a nightmare. Or I had this dream about, you know, doing something illegal. Again, another nightmare. And why? Because my foundation is in the Word of God, seeking after what God's will is for my life. So all these things that come into my life and tempt me, if I'm based my decisions on what the Word of God says, it's not a matter of whether or not I even have to pray about a lot of things. I know what God's called me to do. Even good things I don't have to pray about, if I know that it's going to take me away from the perfect plan and the will of God for my life. Okay? The Word of God clearly says that there are certain things that He wills you to do and to be. It is His will for you to be thankful. Did you know that? This is His will for you, to be thankful in all things. It is His will for you to walk in sexual purity. Does everybody know that? Okay? We talk to a lot of people who we interview for work in our daycare, and we say, are you living with somebody and not being married to them? No, we don't know. I mean, we do know, and now we really know. Let me tell you what you don't know. That it's the will of God for you to avoid all the appearance of evil and live in sexual purity and avoid sexual immorality. All right? In other words, all right, I guess I better just explain what that is. Sexual immorality is having sex with anybody that you are not married to. Good. It is God's will that we put him first with our time and our resources. It is God's will that we forgive those who sin against us. So see, we could make this almost an exhaustive list of things that is God's will for us, and we could say, okay, this is what we know we are to be about. Now, anything that comes with that says this is God's guidance has to line up with all these things. So in the last few weeks in our Wednesday night studies, what we've been doing, we've been writing down, these are the things, and I passed out a sheet a couple weeks ago, this is God's will for me, and you write them all down, and then you know. And the reason this is important is because when a decision comes along that you're really like, man, I don't know what to do, I want somebody else to make this decision for me, it shouldn't be that difficult if you line it up with what you already know God's will is. Is this going to help me? Is this going to honor God? Is this going to cause me to be patient? Is this going to cause me to live a life that is pure, or am I going to have to do shady things, or am I going to be in an environment that's going to cause me to be tempted? I mean, we have to realize that the Word of God will clarify what his direction is for our life. If we know what God's Word says, but we refuse to get it into our lives, and we refuse to follow it, then getting any further guidance from God will be almost impossible. So if we don't do what we already know the Word says, getting any more guidance from him is pretty much worthless because it's all going to line up with the Word of God. So without knowing the Word of God and being willing to do what he says, it would be almost impossible to have any guidance from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, and his truth is the Word of God, correct? And it says that he will bring to remembrance to you everything that Jesus has spoken to us. So the best way and the number one way to get guidance from God is to knowing what Jesus said, what the Word of God says. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God is not God's guidance. If you think something is the will of God for your life, or he is guiding you to make a certain decision, my recommendation, get confirmation from the Word of God. You know, one of the things that I've realized is God's not afraid to confirm his will for our life. I remember when God had called me to be a pastor. Pastor Lori and I were traveling in ministry on the road, and I had gotten this call. I've told you the story. And I said, God, I need some confirmations. I need confirmations, because I realized that, there'd be all kinds of opposition, all kinds of doubt, self-doubt, doubt from others, struggles. You know, I mean, it's a word of spiritual warfare. And going to be a pastor, I knew that I needed to have confirmation so I could stick my stake in the ground and go, I'm not going to quit. And I'm never going to quit. And I never will quit because I know. And God was so gracious that he gave me 30 confirmations. I mean 30 real life confirmations, like prophecies, like, you know, direction, like scriptures, like open doors, like all kinds of signs and wonders. And it doesn't always happen that way, but God was gracious to me, 30 of them. And I wrote them all down, and I said, I think that's enough. So what happens? Somebody comes to me and goes, I don't like you. I went, well, God likes me. I've got 30 reasons he wants me to be a pastor. Well, I think you should pastor somewhere else. Well, here's a confirmation that God's placed me to be pastor in this church. You see, when God guides, he can confirm it with his word and through other things, including prophecy, including circumstances. And these are other ways that he could lead. But I'm just giving you the three basics here. The Word of God, Psalm 119, 105 says this, "The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Isn't that wonderful? When you're making decisions and you're walking down a path, the Word of God will be a light. It'll illuminate the way you're supposed to go. Over here is darkness. Over here is light. It'll guide you. And I love that. God's Word is what transforms and renews our mind to live in godly wisdom. God's Word illuminates, transforms us to be able to live and make decisions with God's wisdom. Without it, we're kind of walking through life by the Braille method spiritually. We really can't see the direction. We're just kind of feeling our way through. And we're trying to make decisions based on our own knowledge instead of what God's Word tells us to do. Now, you know the scripture from Romans that it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Our lives are to be transformed. If part of God's guidance is not necessarily doing but becoming, then we need to be transformed, and that happens with the Word of God being put in our heart so that it may test and discern what the will of God is. And I love that part. When you are making decisions in life, knowing the Word of God will give direction to your actions. When making decisions in life, the Word of God will give you impartation for your attitudes, for your thoughts, for your behaviors, and those things will give you the courage, the confidence, and the understanding on how to go in the direction that God wants you to go. Knowing God's Word literally makes you wise. Look at somebody and say, "You're a wise guy." Now, there have been times in my life where things have gone really badly, and I just didn't know what to do. And this is one specific situation. I won't tell you exactly what it was, but things were going really badly, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I went to God, and He showed me in His Word, and He said, "If you would have followed this scripture that I had given you and based your decisions on that word, then this problem wouldn't have happened." He says, "Now, it will be more difficult to change this, but if you follow my guidance from here on out, I will turn it around." So what happened was, I was going through thinking I was following the will of God, but there's a scripture that God was trying to get to me that I was ignoring. Maybe I didn't want to do it. Maybe I was feeling sorry for myself. But things went badly because I didn't follow God's initial instructions. Then when I began to say, "Okay," I said, "All right, I repent. I'm going to start following your instructions." God says, "Now, it'll be more challenging than it would have been at first, but I can turn this around." And I believe that's the promise, that God can turn anything around no matter what mistake you've made. Here's a note that I wrote down. Don't blame God if you forget God's Word and things go wrong in your life. Don't ever blame God. Don't ever blame God. But especially, don't blame God if you're the one who failed to do what He asked you to do and things go south. Come on, can I have a better amen? Seriously? Seriously? We're going to point a finger at God. Where were you when He said, "I was right here all the time. I gave you this little note here that said, be sure you do this, make sure you think this, make sure you follow my instructions here," right? When things go wrong and you need help, say, "Lord," watch this, when things are going wrong, you say, "Lord, I humble myself. I've gone my own way. Show me your wisdom and your guidance, and I will follow." That's how that can be redeemed if we've made bad choices. Now, when we do that, we have to be willing to learn what God says to us about our circumstances, because He's going to guide us through His Word. The second key, all right? God primarily guides us through his word. The second one, God also guides us by his spirit. I know you're sitting there going, Pastor Tom, I could have taught this sermon this morning, all right? God does. He guides us by his spirit. He guides us by his word, number one. That's the primary one. But then he also guides us by his spirit. And the reason why I say the word is number one is because this is a little bit more complicated. This is a little bit more difficult. It's not just like whenever you need wisdom, you know, it's like, hello, God, could you just speak to me right now? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you on demand. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you on demand. He speaks to you when he wants to speak to you. And if you're not listening, you may call him up and say, speak to me. And he goes, I already did. You missed it. So here's the thing. Learning how to be guided by the Holy Spirit requires us to walk with God daily, learn how to listen to him all the time, have an intimate relationship with him, get to know him. Now, Pastor Lori's on the front row here. She and I have been married 34 years today, as I said, and she can look at me, and I can know exactly what she wants. Okay? And part of that is because I know her, and she knows me. We have a relationship. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't shout at you like most preachers will, okay? In fact, if you have a really quiet preacher, maybe they're really led by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit usually whispers. He usually whispers. The Bible says he speaks in a quiet, small voice. The Holy Spirit isn't all amped up with emotion, okay? Now, being unemotional and dead isn't necessarily godly either. But I'm saying being highly emotional and all stressed out when you're involved with the things isn't any sign of spirituality either. In fact, it could be just a lot of noise and a lot of emotion, and Holy Spirit's out here going, what I want to do is this. What I want to say is this. And you've got to calm your flesh. You've got to calm your emotions down. Seriously, please, hear this one. This may be for somebody in here. You cannot hear God when you're stressed out. You've got to take a deep breath, chillax, trust God to speak to you, and then learn how to listen to him. How long is that going to take, Pastor Tom? Until you're done asking that question. How long is it going to take? When you're ready to sit there until Jesus comes back, then you're ready to hear him. Sure, wait patiently on the Lord. You know why? He's not in a hurry. God can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in a lifetime of trying to control everything and fix everything and get everything straightened out and organized and thinking through it and having it all figured out and everything. I've had people in the church, they'd come to me and go, Pastor Tom, what are we going to do now? And, what's going to happen when we go there? And what decisions are you going to make here? And we need to have everything figured out. And you need to explain all this to us. And I'm like, I have to explain everything. Yeah, we gotta get everybody in the church together. We gotta have a listening session, and then we gotta vote on everything so everybody knows what's going on. And I'm like, okay, so you want a pastor who knows everything? I mean, you want me to explain everything I know, and then you'll feel better. Then what you're gonna get is a pastor who all you have is anything he knows, instead of a pastor and leaders who are willing to say, we don't know, but God does. And we're trusting in him that he will lead us and guide us. And you know what? Most of the time, it's not a 5-year plan. Believe me, I've been to a lot of pastors' conferences. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing, But you know, you got to put this in perspective. Every pastor's got this huge vision and a 4 or 5 year plan, all these goals and strategies and mission statements. And you know, it's not always bad to be able to communicate the things you know God's called you to do. So don't misunderstand. But the fact is sometimes tomorrow God may say, do this. And it was never part of your goal, it was never part of your plan. So goals are overrated. Vision is overrated. Having everything strategically mapped out, overrated. What's not overrated is being in a position to always hear from God. So he can tell you, today, you go here. Today, you meet with that person. Today, you have this opportunity. Today, and if you've got too much stuff planned out, you could plan God right out of your destiny. Believe me, I was all gung-ho. I mean, I've got books on planning. I've got books about planning your plan. And my mom would say, and God has a plan for your plan. That's what she always said. Well, God's got a plan for your plan. You can figure it all out if you want to. You can have it all structured and strategized and clearly packaged up. And some of it's God. It's based on the Word. But you know what? There's a component of the Holy Spirit that is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. You just hear the sound of it if you're quiet enough to listen. Sometimes when there's teaching on the Holy Spirit, it gets people real nervous because things are out of control. If you like to be in control, you don't want to be around the Holy Spirit a lot. Because wild things happen with the Holy Spirit. He can come in and your hair will start on fire. Oh, that's not in the Bible. Well, it is too. It's in the book of Acts. They had fire on top of their heads. So don't tell me your hair can't start on fire in church. People can get up out of their wheelchairs. Yes, people can fall out and roll on the floor. People can speak in other languages. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, you never know what he wants to do. And so when he's giving you guidance, you have to stop and say, I'm going to wait on God. I mean, we'll be in the office, Pastor Lori and I, and we're making important decisions, maybe hiring somebody, maybe doing this outreach, maybe that. And all of a sudden, Lori stops and goes, I'm going to go pray. See you later. And I won't see her again for a couple hours. She goes, I just needed to make sure that God was leading and guiding me. You know, if you're making life-changing decisions, a couple hours with God will save your life. Seriously. If you're too busy to spend as much time as needed with God, you're just too busy. I just say, I'll be your counselor here. Pastor Tom loves you. I'm your friend. So I love you, Pastor Tom. Go ahead and reprove me. If you don't have time to spend time in the Word of God or with God or listening to the Holy Spirit, you're too busy. You are too busy. Look, I could walk around with you all day and probably tell you, yeah, you can get rid of your television. Yeah, you can get rid of that internet connection, or at least the things, half of the stuff that you're doing. I've had people tell me how busy they were, and then half an hour later, I saw them on Facebook. My life is so busy. I don't even know what to do. Now they're on Facebook doing like posting cat videos or something. And so I have this thought that I wrote down in my notes, and it goes: Are you spending more time on Facebook than you are with your face in the book? And once in a while, I will spend some time on Facebook, and I'll read what people are doing. And you know what? My mind does squirrely things when I read what people are doing. My mind thinks weird things when I read what people are doing. I don't think, oh, that's so nice that they're doing that. Sometimes I think, why are they doing that? Why do they get to do that? They have all those kids? they're not all that beautiful. I mean, my goodness, why do they have all those kids? Oh, so fake book, you know. It's just a bunch of people doing things that I guess are trying to network with people. But ultimately, you know, you can waste more of your life on irrelevancy when God is saying, your minutes are passing by here. Can you prioritize? It's not that you can't do some things. It's not that you can't see TV or videos or whatever. But if you say to your pastor, I don't have time to spend time with God, you're too busy. You've got to do this in order to get guidance from God. Or your life will just be, you may be saved, you may be going to heaven, but you'll stand before the white throne, before the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll go, let's see, we've got one little reward for you. You had all these other things over here, but you never got around to them. That's the standard of living that we have to realize is coming our way. So the voice of God is something that we need to learn to discern. There is no substitute for knowing God personally when it comes to being guided by him, talking to him, walking with him on a daily basis. So this is a first-person thing. God has no grandchildren. My daughter is not saved because I'm a pastor. She's not going to heaven because her relationship with God has nothing to do with me other than I've given her an opportunity to grow and learn and encourage her to lead her in the right direction. But she's had those choices to make. When she was 15 or 16 years old, she decided, you know, instead of going into Hollywood and being a movie star or doing whatever weird things she was going to do, she said, no, we're not weird. She's very gifted and talented. She could be anything she wants to be. She said, I am going to serve God in ministry. I'm going to surrender my life and serve God in ministry. And she's here today serving God in because she had to make her own decision and her own choice. Remember, guidance from the Holy Spirit is not a quick fix for our problems. Guidance from the Holy Spirit is not an instant answer to a problem. Guidance from the Holy Spirit is a way of life. Now, guidance in and of itself isn't an answer to solve a problem because we're uncomfortable. Guidance in and of itself comes because we become who God wants us to be, and we have a rudder. We have a rudder. We have a moral compass. We have a spiritual compass that says, this is the way to go. Here's my compass. Everybody wants me to go this way. Some people want me to go that way. My flesh wants me to go that way. The compass says, go this way. So I go this way. This is the way God says to go. People are falling off the cliff over here. People are being shot over here. People are drowning back here. I'm walking over the bridge of hell, and the flames aren't touching me because I'm following God's ways. You have a compass. See, that's what God wants to do in your heart. He wants to create the wisdom of God that is something that is planted in your heart so that whatever decision you have, it's not like you're tempted with all these other things. Rejection doesn't tempt you. Well, if you don't do this, we'll hate you. Hate all you want. Well, we'll never talk to you again if you don't follow our ways. If you don't come over and party with us and drink all of our booze or smoke, or you won't. Who do you think you? Stop. The world's going to go yak and yak and on and on and on about you following the compass. But it's your destiny. And you got to stay focused on it no matter what anybody else says. My mom would always say, when she gave her life over to God in a committed way, she goes, I don't care if anybody goes with me, but I'm going all the way with God. So my question for you this morning, with God's guidance here, is are you sold out? Are you willing to pay any price? Are you sold out? Are you willing to go the distance with God? Go for the divine nature? Go for the gold in the kingdom of God? Or just little raindrops? So this is a question you have to answer for yourself. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to take the compass and go the direction that God's told us to go. We welcome anybody on our journey. But if you get off course, we can't oblige you, because we can't afford to be going all these different directions when God says, I've got this road for you. This is the way your lives are supposed to be lived. It gives me glory. It gives me honor. It respects me. It's the fear of the Lord. And that is the beginning of wisdom. If you respect God enough to say, yes, I'll follow you, even though I don't understand why, I'll go that way. The writer of the Hebrews was explaining to them, or trying to explain to the Hebrews, the will of God. And he says, you know, there is much more I would like to say to you about this, but it is kind of difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. I wonder who that pastor was. You're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the foundational things of the Word of God. You're like little babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Training. This has not come because, you know, spiritual discernment isn't a gift. Not this kind. There's a gift of discernment, but the spiritual discernment you need for your own personal life, that comes through a daily walk with God, training yourself, training. What does God think about this? 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 Now, what does my friend on Facebook think about this? Not what does the news think about this? Not what do my feelings think about this? I tell you what, if I would follow my feelings, I wouldn't even be anywhere close to what God wants me to do. You can just tell your feelings, you know, you could feel bad if you want to, but I'm going this way. Can I say that again? Your feelings, you can tell your feelings, you know, you can feel bad if you want to. You can feel confused if you want to. You can feel this way if you want to, but I've got to go the way God wants me to go. And hopefully, feelings, you can catch up with me and join the party. Now, since I'm the only one in here who ever has to deal with negative feelings, you know, if that ever happens to you, that's what I would say to them. Tell your feelings to be quiet. Quiet. Feelings, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. Now, this is training. And this training is the word to exercise, where you put effort in and you get skillful at it. And the only way to do that is time. Now, I know that some of you have the 3-minute workout or the 7-minute workout. But most workouts that are worth anything take at least an hour. Take at least an hour to get some real good exercise. Now, if you're actually training for something that is competitive, you may spend 6 hours a day. We're in the Olympics. These people have given their lives. Their families have given their lives to make the Olympic team. And what's more important, being on God's team or being on the Olympic team? See, Paul said, we all run. This is Pastor Laurie's message on Go for the Gold. Every runner runs the race in their own lane. Only one wins the prize. Now, we're not competing against other people in the kingdom of God. You know, we're competing against our flesh. Our flesh. So Paul says, that's why buffet our body. So your feelings and your flesh are chatting away. In fact, that's one of the reasons why some of us don't hear from God, is because we're listening to our feelings. I had one guy tell me, he says, I can't sit down and be quiet and listen to God. He says, it makes me nervous. I just, my flesh just gets all gnarly or something. I said, I can't help you. If you can't sit in a chair and ask God to talk to you, because it makes you nervous, I mean, got to work on that. You got to exercise some patience, okay? Spiritual maturity is what this writer is talking about here. It requires training, a daily routine of talking and listening to God. It's the basis for God's guidance. And I'm just telling you, it's the time thing. Make time for it. The last one here, all right? The last one. Number three, God guides us by acknowledging him. What does that mean? God guides us by us acknowledging him. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. This is the basis of this point here. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I love this verse. Isn't this a comforting verse? I mean, it really is a comforting verse because you realize that God wants you to cast all of your care upon him, to put all of your trust in him. You may not understand everything. You may not like everything. You may have a lot of questions, but seriously, just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So not only are we to know what God says, not only are we to walk with him on a daily basis, but we are to trust him implicitly. Above all else, trust in God. You know, all hell can be breaking loose. The economy can be falling apart. People can be falling like flies around you. Tragedy, circumstances, it could be all misunderstood. And you're trusting in the Lord, you can have the peace of God in the midst of any storm. Because Jesus said, hey, Jesus said, the storm is coming. There's always a storm coming. Nobody gets through this life without facing a storm. And you don't know what it is, but there's a storm coming. And he said, what's your foundation? Is it on sand? Or is it on God's guidance and his wisdom? When the storm comes, if you're trusting in the Lord, you will not be moved. You will be planted with your roots deep in God's word and trust and guidance of his Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for all of you today. Let me finish up by saying this. He says, do not lean on your own understanding. Wow. The first thing we want to do when things fall apart around us is try to figure everything out, don't we? And I got to figure all this out. Got to figure this out. You know what? God doesn't necessarily want you to figure everything out. What he wants you to do is trust him, have the peace of God so you can hear his voice, and then you'll be able to walk through whatever darkness it is because you've built your trust and your life on a firm foundation. Okay? Trusting in God is demonstrated by this. Okay, now maybe you didn't know this. Trusting in God is demonstrated by surrendering to God anything he asks for. I believe that's the definitive mark of a person who trusts God. Giving him anything he asks for at any time, at any moment. In fact, I believe it's a totally surrendered life to God. And with that in mind, trusting in the Lord means, God, you want this, you can have it. You want this, you can have it. You want this, you can have it. You want these days, you want that day, you want this house, you want that money, you want this job, you want me to do this. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to trust you. So a lot of times the fix that we're trying to fix is the fix that God has got us in to fix the thing that we're trying to fix so that God can put us in the place that he wants us to because we're way out of line. We're doing something way off of what God has ever asked us to do. And how we got there? It's just one little decision in our own thinking after the next, maybe some advice that somebody gives, well, I did that, and this didn't work, and that did it, and that there's no basis in the Scripture. So we've got to come back to not trusting in our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight. Make our paths straight. And the last verse there, can you put that last verse back up there, Rachel? Right after it says this, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The thing that stops us from a lot of times from doing what God asks us to do, if we don't understand it, is pride. Can I just close with this word of encouragement? Pride will destroy your life. Pride will destroy your life, and pride will cause God to resist you. Pride, wanting to do it your way, is the evidence of pride. Somebody said that the acronym for ego is edging God out. And pride will cause your life to come to disgrace or shame or embarrassment or lose your reputation or not have any respect from anybody. That's what that means. So do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You've got to get your thinking in line with what God's word says. You've got to get your heart in a place where the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And you've got to put your life in a place where you can acknowledge Him in all your ways. Are you willing to do that this morning? All right. As the band plays, let's go ahead and stand up on our feet. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment here this morning. This message today wasn't so much about God telling you what to do. This message today was more about God helping to transform you to become what He wants you to be. Guidance isn't just about decisions. Guidance is about transforming our heart so when decisions need to be made, they're obvious. They're obvious. I don't remember the last time where I had a difficult decision. I mean, it was difficult because it was going to affect other people, but it was not difficult to know the answer. I believe we can all live in a place where the things that we need to decide to do are not mysterious, they're not confusing, they're not even hard. They may be hard to make, but they're not hard to know. And so this is what I pray for each one of us here today. Let's pray this. If you want to close your eyes, lift up your hands, and just say, Heavenly Father, say this together. Heavenly Father, we come before You in Jesus' name, humbling ourselves, knowing that we need Your help, and needing to become more like You. Today we make a commitment to get to know Your word and Your will by spending time reading the Bible. We make a commitment this day to being led by the Spirit, by hearing His voice, by training our hearts to be still and to listen to You. Guide us, Heavenly Father. You said, Jesus, that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will lead us into all truth. I desire, God, to be led into all truth. Not the truth that's convenient, but all truth, so I can become more like Jesus. I make a commitment this day to acknowledge You, God, in everything that I do, I say, I think. I want to give You glory. I want to honor You. I want to do what's pleasing to You. And I want to follow Your plans and purposes for every part of my life. I will not lean to my own understanding. I will trust you in everything. Thank you, Lord. As I humble myself, I ask that you would show me your ways, reveal to me your thoughts, and help me become all that you want me to be. I cast my care on you. I cast it all on you right now. Every fear, every worry, every thought of insecurity. And I thank you, Lord, for filling me with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap today.